Game on this afternoon, and our cast is here, of course, without Mark, but Wes is doing a fantastic job today, and he plays the games. He knows these games, and this is why he's questioning these two experts here to find out as much information as he possibly can. I'm talking, of course, about Mike Priest from Stuff Magazine, Me Gamers as well, of course, Sumit here. Sumit, what are we moving on to now?
Right now we got the top 10 list by Virgin Megastore.
Oh, right, and Sumit's going to do this in the style of Mark Lloyd.
The style of Mark Lloyd. I don't know if I can pull the accent off, but okay, I'll do what I can. All right, Virgin Megastore's top 10 list. At number 10, we have Call of Duty Black Ops for the Xbox 360. At number 9, we have Infamous 2 for the PS3. At number 8, we have WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2011 Platinum Edition for the PS3. At number 7, we got Sniper Ghost Warrior PS3. At number 6, we got Sims 3 Generations for the PC. At number 5, Transformers 3 Dark of the Moon for the PS3. At number 4, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 for the PS3. At number 3, Call of Duty Black Ops for the PS3. At number 2, we have L.A. Noire for the PS3. And at number 1, still going on from last week, is Cars 2 by Disney for the PS3.
Mm.
And it's, I think me and Mike is actually surprised that Cars 2 is still doing
it. Like you were saying, I mean, it's not necessarily a bad game. I'm just like going up against Black Ops and
L.A. Noire.
Did you expect L.A. Noire to be actually there this week? Did you think it would go there to number 1?
I still think it would be number 2
and
number 3.
L.A. Noire is a good game. It's an interesting game. I've read an article on Kotaku a few weeks ago about how it had quite a troubled development process. I mean, it was in development for about 4 or 5 years. So much so, it was being developed in Australia, and the company that was doing it, Team Bondi, were apparently not doing a very good job, so the parent company, Rockstar, had to actually fly people out from the States and from the UK to sort of whip them into shape to get the game going.
Okay.
Which I think explains a few of sort of the shortcomings of the game. I really like it because I enjoy the noir setting and all that kind of thing. Mm. But there are some pretty glaring errors with the game in terms of sort of it being a bit too linear and being quite, like what I was saying before about Assassin's Creed, quite repetitive in what you do. There's not a lot of scope for things moving around. Having said that, it's a fun game. I enjoyed the soundtrack as well.
Well, I don't know. Like, ever since I started playing L.A. Noire, I started going back to my DVD collection, started watching like all the old Law & Order like shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, like, and it plays out somewhat in a very similar way.
Yeah,
like, it's a very basic story. It goes case to case. Doesn't really progress.
It's kind of like Law & Order meets Chinatown.
Exactly, something like that.
Right? I was looking at the actor again because I got into season 4 now of Mad Men.
Nice.
Excellent show.
And it's going to they're up for awards again. I mean, every year
it seems to happen.
Though. Yeah, and the actor again. I think of his name. Is it Aaron?
I can't remember
his name.
Wait, the guy who the main character from Mad Men?
Don Draper.
No.
What
a name as well, huh? Don Draper.
It's not his real name, you know.
I know,
that,
but it's such a cool name.
He's got a dark past. is our Don. John Hamm is the actor.
Yeah.
But the actual voice
for the game, for the lead.
Aaron Phelps.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes, indeed. And I keep looking at him, thinking, you know. Is he really capable of like providing such a voice? I mean, he's a good actor without a shadow.
Yeah, he's one of the better ones on the show, I think.
And
he just kind of took a side role. I think he's not in it so much in the later.
No, he's not. He's been written
because he's probably been working on this game.
This is how they do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, this is the way that you know, they've got to get out of the contract, or they say, okay, look, I've got another booking now. I'm not going to be available for so many weeks, months.
Mm.
And they get written out slightly, and then, of course, then they bring them back in again. But so they've done a good job with it. But you think that is it number 2?
Yeah, I mean, I think it deserves to be up there. What's kind of blowing my mind at the moment is that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is on this list, because what is that, a 4-year-old game now? 3-year-old game?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. Did you go out and buy, like, 50,000 copies, Wes? Is that what happened?
No, wait a minute.
I've mentioned this before with you guys, and I'll mention it again. My cousin's oldest boy, Daniel, he's off to he's off to high school next year, right? Okay, and he's good at this game, and he was explaining to me why he doesn't play multiplayer for Black Ops, why he plays the multiplayer for the Modern Warfare. He prefers it, and so do all his friends.
Yeah.
And I think that has a strong drawing card then for a lot of kids, because you can play the actual storyline of the game, and that'll keep you entertained for one weekend.
True.
But after that, it's only the multiplayer.
Well, exactly.
And if all your friends are on Modern Warfare 2, you might have gotten Black Ops for Christmas, but you're still going to want to go out there and play with
your friends. Yeah, not everybody did, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, and I agree. I think the multiplayer is stronger on Modern Warfare 2. What I find very interesting, I mean, this is charting at number four on the chart, and you'd think anybody that wanted this game already had it and has been playing
it for
an X amount of time. So I'm thinking maybe there's been a price cut or something that's happened to Virgin, and that's it's bringing it to that number, because, I'm shocked. Aside from that, it all looks pretty straightforward to me.
Okay, then what about the amount of PS3 games in comparison to Xbox and others?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the Middle East has traditionally been known as a PlayStation-centric market. They sell more PS3s than Xbox 360s in this region. Okay. We don't know what the numbers are because there's never released. Mm-hmm. But it skews the same way as Europe does. So Europe is a very PlayStation-heavy market, same as Japan, obviously, where it comes from. Whereas the States are traditionally, and Canada and North America, are traditionally more an Xbox market. So, I mean, that's really, really the only reason. I mean, it's good to I think on this list there is only one Xbox 360 title, which is Black Ops, which, again, isn't super surprising. And then what's the other one? Is The Sims is the only other PC game on there. So, again, I mean, it's not surprising to see the PS3 charting so well.
And I'm going to throw you this question off the cuff, but both of you are commentators on the gaming industry. Are we ever going to see a point where it doesn't matter what platform we're using, whether it be Xbox, Nintendo, or PS3, but we can all game against each other? Because
we hope for, but I doubt that'll ever happen, because some companies don't want to work with each other. Mm-hmm. Some companies have their own business they want to maintain, and mainly because first party titles what matter most to these companies. I mean, when it comes to Gears of War, Infamous, and Uncharted, or like any other, like or Halo, even like each game machine is as good as its game that it's specifically designed for it. Mm. So I doubt, like, if a Gears of War were to ever come to Sony PlayStation, like, Microsoft would end up losing at the same time than it would be winning. Yeah. It has its reputation for its first-party titles. The same thing with Sony, vice versa.
I'm really torn on the sort of the discussion of a one-console future, is what it's called in gaming circles, where it is just one box and everybody plays that, so you can cross. Because on the one hand, that's great because it makes the player base bigger. Because not everybody, you know, works for a magazine or a website and gets free games to review has to have all the consoles, you know. Like you're saying, like your cousin's son, he probably only has one machine or whatever, or only two out of the three or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can't play everything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, competition is good. And I think that's why I'm not 100% in the camp of having just one console. Because, you know, if you're stuck there and it is just one box being made, people get sloppy.
I'm not talking about one box. What I'm talking about is
like cross,
let's say, for example, we have mobile phones. Mm-hmm. We have mobile phones, but they're all on the same network.
Okay.
So we can choose our different mobile phones, whether it be a BlackBerry, Nokia, mm-hmm. iPhone, but they all connect to the same network. So I don't only call other Nokia owners, for example. I call anyone who has a mobile phone. The same with gaming. Is it not possible for us to have a future? Would it not be best for us to have a future that regardless of what unit we use, mm-hmm. we can all then compete or can play against each other?
I mean, from a consumer point, I would say yes. Manufacturing point, I would say definitely
it's
no.
It's not even that. I mean, even from a consumer point to a certain extent, it's not the best of ideas. They attempted this with a game called Shadow. What was it called? It was,
I don't know. You have to tell me.
I blanked in the dark about this.
But yeah, sorry. It was a cross-platform game between the Xbox and the PC. And the issues they were having is that obviously people with a keyboard and a mouse have a much better advantage because they've got more precision, they've got more maps to the keys.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you were playing Call of Duty against someone on a Wii and you had an Xbox 360 controller?
Yeah.
It would just be unfair.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big concern. I mean, it's similar with things like the PlayStation 3 at the moment. It supports keyboard and a mouse. So technically, if you wanted to play like a real-time strategy game, like Command & Conquer, World of Warcraft, something like that, you should, by all accounts, be able to plug in your mouse and keyboard into your PlayStation 3 and play it like you would a traditional PC game. they don't allow this support because it makes it unfair to people who, for whatever reason, don't have a keyboard and a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, there's issues of balance, there's issues of you know, of fair play, and I think that's why I think if they did want to go delve into that, it would be a one console thing. Something like OnLive, which we've seen at E3 before, OnLive is a streaming service which they're sort of trialing in the US at the moment, where basically you receive a controller and like the small little piece of electronic equipment that you plug into your television, and it's not a game console. It basically is a receiver where you choose the game that you want to play, say Call of Duty, and it's all done on a server farm somewhere in the middle of a desert somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then they stream the video to you, and you're inputting the controls through your controller. So you're not actually doing any of the processing at your home. As long as you've got an ample internet connection, mm-hmm. you can play a game without actually having to own the box or the physical disc itself. And I think maybe that's the future for gaming.
Mm.
But it's still at its infancy, and they're waiting for people to, you know, publishers to sign on to it and get new games mm-hmm. onto it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way to go. And maybe we'll see that in the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, I'm all about that. I'm all about we're all on the same platform.
Oh,
it finds, I find it, you know, and for those who are having to make the choice around birthdays or Christmases of, you know, what platform do I buy? Do I buy him the Xbox? Do I buy her the PlayStation? Do I buy my husband the Wii or my wife the Wii? It all gets a bit much, because then you have to decide, well, if they're going to go online, then what do their friends have? Then you have to mm-hmm. network with what are your kids' friends
Very
have?
Good point. Excellent
and
point.
It just it's a never-ending cycle.
Yeah, oh no, I agree. And you know, I mean, it's a very old school kind of system. You know, it's antiquated to a certain extent. This whole, you know, warring console manufacturers. When in other mediums, you know, even record labels to this extent are all working together. You know, you can get pretty much any CD you want or any music you want off iTunes.
But
all under one.
But then
service.
But then you negate your point with the idea of competition. I mean, like
no, well, this.
I mean,
could you imagine, Sumit? And I this is a debate now.
Okay.
So you know, gloves off.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, here we go. Come on, we're gonna slug this one out.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Imagine if your mobile service provider did the same thing to you.
I mean, no, but
you could only call. What phone do you have?
No, I have an iPhone.
iPhone. You could only call me.
Huh?
You could only call me. And Jason, you're
yeah.
on iPhone.
Yeah.
What do you want?
I'm also on an iPhone.
Okay, doing my points.
See, now, see, you just
would have to be, wouldn't it?
Now you just prove my point.
Forget calling anyone with a BlackBerry.
No, but I mean, all right. So say you were
calling anyone with a
Nokia. No, but it's say you were only you could only call the same phone provider.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
No, but the idea is that you can't, because the provider itself is fixed. I mean, the only difference would be, like, suppose if I'm using AT&T and you're using like Verizon or something, and I'm not able to call you now.
It's American speak.
But you get my point. In this case, if I were to buy an Xbox and I want to play with someone on the PS3. Then to these guys, it wouldn't matter who, like, what console they would want to buy. That's where their competition comes into play. That, oh, we have to make sure that they would want to buy an Xbox and play it on our system.
Yeah, but I think what Wes is saying is, say a game, again, we'll go back to Call of Duty,
okay,
which is available on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't you be able to play with someone on an Xbox?
The reason being is because
it's the benefit of the consumer or the producer.
It's towards
the benefit of who?
It's the benefit of the company making them. Well, the person making the console. Not even like Activision, I'm sure, will be all fine. And I think where that comes is a section of dedicated servers. So it would be up. The onus would be on the publisher of the game to create a server that would be able to accommodate both PlayStation, Xbox, and also PC in the
PC
system, which is actually what's happening in Portal 2. If I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, but I believe there is cross-play between PlayStation 3 players
and
Steam users, because you can now get Steamworks on the PlayStation 3. So it is slowly happening, but mm-hmm. you know, I mean, walls have to be broken down, and Microsoft, they're not evil, but they're very their system within Xbox Live is a very closed system.
And people like Sumit have to be convinced.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do have to be convinced.
We'll have to try and convince him during the break here, but we're going to come back with some other games as well that are in our list today on Game On, and we'll be talking about Captain America Super Soldier and Ghost Recon Future Soldier when we come back.